Hey, everybody. Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by a man who is a real man, the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going this week? Last week you brought it up, so I feel entitled to bring it up. How was the marriage conference?
It was...
Ladies want to know. Did it work out? Are you a single guy? On the market? Off the market?
Definitely off the market for 14 years now, so that's pretty much settled. But it was great. You know, it's just... Maybe someday you'll be able to experience it, but it was just a connection with the person that you've actually, you know, publicly devoted your life to. And it's something special to go and focus on making that relationship better. So, you know, it's a very selfless thing to do, and it went wonderfully. It's always good to, you know, to go to those. Even though I'm a big talker, I was drugged to it, right? I mean, basically she said, you will go with me to this marriage conference. So, you know, it's not like, it's not like I brought
Chris,
it up.
Let me ask you, for myself and all the listeners out there, do we have a tip, a piece of advice you can share?
A successful marriage is largely due to luck.
Chris, don't break my heart. What do you mean?
I'm serious. It's luck, a large part of it. You just got to be lucky to find the right person. And then number two, a successful marriage is two adults that are willing to make adult decisions about things. That's pretty much it. That's what a successful marriage is. That was something that was shared, and I thought that was very true. There is no secret. It's not communication, because you can have a lot of communication and still have a failed marriage. It's there's luck involved, and you got to treat it like a contract. So that's all I got. You know, for the full service, I would recommend going to your own conference, but we won't get into that again because I regretted that.
Well, thank you. Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about that all week. And by the way, I was shamed this week because we always have said, like, okay, Jason lives with his girlfriend, shares a home with her, have been together for 6 years, but she's not like a girlfriend. Like, it's not just like casual like that. Like, we're in it for life. Mm-hmm. But there's not a term for that besides marriage, and I can't use that one yet. And by the way, I'm not a shady guy, so I'm not pulling the move where I'm asking her to marry me like 7 years out and then call her my fiance for 7 years. I don't pull that move either. So I haven't had like a good name, but I heard a really bad name that describes it this week. Live-in girlfriend. And you know who else has a live-in girlfriend, and actually two of them, coming to his defense right now?
Oh.
R. Kelly.
Oh, gosh. So, what the hell?
The headlines were like, R. Kelly's two live-in girlfriends come to his defense. So I was like, man, I am not in good company.
Yeah. Yeah, you and R. Kelly got the leg up on that. Oh my gosh. If there's a worse person to associate yourself with right now, it's definitely that. You don't want your own documentary. That's a bad idea.
You know who I can actually think of one person that's worse to associate myself, and I have in the past, besides R. Kelly, one person that's worse. You know who?
No.
You. All right, you ready, Chris?
That was a stretch. Let's
All right. Let's talk about the good podcast stuff. I saw the 5-star reviews. I listened for the first 8 minutes, and I didn't hear anything about paid search. What's going on here? Maybe I just haven't listened long enough, because I didn't hear anything about paid search, and I'm not in on this banter. All right, Chris, I hear those people out there, so we gotta get to the meaty beef here. So,
Jason, you're right. Let's get to the stuff that matters. And first, we want to thank Opteo. They are a sponsor of this podcast, and they help people get more from Google Ads. People like Jason and I use Opteo to make real decisions about the data. And today, we're going to highlight a feature that I thought was extremely unique. It's called the scorecard. So the scorecard is a tab inside of your Opteo account where you can go in and check things like projected spend. You can see this really cool growing chart to say, based on the amount that you've spent, it looks like you will end the month with this amount. It's a projected spend graph, which is pretty neat. Another thing that I really like that is on this scorecard is a SCAG usage. That's right, you just heard me mention SCAG usage. So you can measure non-SCAG keywords with SCAG keywords and see information like how is a non-SCAG comparing with the cost per conversion of a SCAG build? So you can have two campaigns going and get the information right there on the page. So tons more stuff inside this scorecard. If you want to check it out, which we highly encourage that you do, go to opteo.com/PSP. Look for an extended 6-week trial that they're giving the listeners of this podcast and take advantage of it, because I can guarantee you will see something that is unique and will set your brain into a whole new creative level, stuff that you don't see in the regular Google Ads interface. opteo.com/PSP. Get that extended trial and you're going to like it.
Chris, I want to talk about Directive Consulting. I want to thank them for sponsoring today's episode. And I want to talk to the enterprise companies out there, the B2B companies out there that are using search engine marketing to try to get more leads and grow their business. I want to recommend to them Directive Consulting. They're our go-to recommendation for enterprise and B2B search engine marketing. I want everyone who's in that space to go to their website, directiveconsulting.com. Go to their services page on their services menu dropdown and look at all they do. Pay-per-click, search engine optimization, SEO, conversion rate optimization, content marketing, paid social, digital PR, and they also do landing pages. And my point is that for you enterprise companies out there, you large B2B advertisers out there, you need someone like Directive who can tie it all together and capture every lead and cover every angle. If you're an enterprise, if you're a B2B, a large advertiser, I know you've been working with probably multiple agencies in the past. A lot of times you feel like they're not getting it. They're not covering every angle. I'm telling you, Directive will. I've seen what they can do. I've seen their tracking. It's amazing. Go to their website, directiveconsulting.com. Get a proposal and see what they can do. So we want to thank Directive Consulting, and we recommend you guys get a custom proposal at their website. Oh, we have a review, Chris. I'm going to read parts of a 5-star review from Jeff, and the title is Warning, Get Your Excuses Ready. And Jeff, I love this review. I can't read all of it right now because it's a very long review, but we did read it and I appreciate it. And basically Jeff's point is like, hey, he's putting in hours at the gym. He's taking extremely long amounts of time to set up a new garage door opener, all because he's been binging on the Paid Search podcast. And he's got a line in there about how he's never left a review. He had a hard time figuring it out, probably because he's not a millennial, in his words, but he figured it out. He wanted to leave us a review because he loves the show. And he has a funny line that says, plus, I wanted to say thank you to Chris and Jason for your content, humor, authenticity, and understanding that I said Chris and Jason in alphabetical order. My brain just works that way. This is one of those shows where you quickly understand that even if it's true that Jason created it by inviting Chris to join him, it was pure genius on his part. The humble balance of personalities combined with their willingness to share their wealth of real-world knowledge of how to profit from Google AdWords deserves more than the 5-star limit of a review. They're a 6. I'd say a 10, but that would put it on a different scale. In that case, I'd have to say, no, they're an 11. So, Jeff, we appreciate that review. When you guys leave reviews, iTunes and Stitcher, they share the show with more people. We're at 173. I really want to get to 200, and we appreciate you guys doing that. So thank you, Jeff, for that review, and thank you, everyone, for your reviews.
All right, so we have, as always, interactions from real listeners, and today we have a voicemail from our friend Ross in Colorado Springs. A beautiful area. So beautiful. I have been there multiple times to look at property. I considered moving there. Colorado Springs, just a great place, you know, just the mountains. And anyway, let's get to Ross's question.
Hey guys, it's Ross calling from Colorado Springs. For my last job, I drove 150,000 miles last year. I probably listened to every advertising podcast on iTunes. And I have to say, you know, I choose yours over everyone else. You guys are funny. You're knowledgeable. And it's a great experience. But my question is, you know, I'd love to learn a little bit more about your remarketing segmentation tips. So if you could talk about that a little bit, would really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Keep up the good work.
All right, Chris. Well, I bet Ross wanted to hear from the in-house remarketing expert. So
that, yeah, that's my boy. Yeah. Go for it. I don't
know. I'm just going to take this one, Chris. All right. So Ross, very timely question, and believe it or not, and I know you guys won't, but believe it or not, we did not pick this question just because of this episode is about remarketing. We just randomly picked this question. It was next in the queue and it worked out perfect. So we're going to get into segmenting your remarketing audiences later in the show, very deep, but to just go in a little bit on it, Ross, that's a great question. And so for everyone who doesn't know, when people say remarketing, we always think, okay, that's people who've been to my website in the last 30 days or recently, and I'm going to follow them around to different websites and show them my display ads and stay top of mind and build some brand awareness. Yes, that is remarketing. But to take it one level deeper, you can segment multiple remarketing lists, and instead of just targeting all users, you can target people who've been to a specific page on your website. So if you're a moving company and you offer office moves and residential moves, if someone has been to your office moving page, you can hit them specifically with office moving remarketing ads. Or if you're e-commerce and you sell running shoes and leather dress shoes, if someone's been to a specific leather dress shoe page, you can remarket to them with that specific product. So it's very powerful. We'll get into it later in the show, but I can just tell you, I've seen extremely strong results when I've segmented my remarketing list and not just done all users, but done people who are looking for a particular business topic. It's really powerful. So I would say to everyone out there, review your website, write down what services you offer, what kinds of pages can people go to on your website, how can you group those pages together, and then we'll talk about later in the show how you actually formulate those lists. But it's extremely powerful, Ross, and you're on the right track to be thinking about it.
Okay, so I think that's definitely a why to do it answer, because there's obviously some benefits to being very specific about the ads that you show, which is what we talk about all the time. Showing people specific content based on what they viewed is a phenomenal way to reach people in remarketing. So today's segment continues on that thread, but we're going to get even deeper. And we're going to go back in and continue our series on Big Daddy JR's Senior Living. This is, as you guys have heard, this is our friend, Mr. JR, who is going to be opening a new, here we go with a long list, nursing home, assisted living, senior living, / premium condos, and home care, in-home care services. This guy does it all, and so we're building a campaign for this fictional service. So we've gone through, we've built the campaigns, the ad groups, the keywords. We've talked about ad copy, and we will be releasing a spreadsheet with this build shortly. So I know you guys are waiting for that. We appreciate your patience. We just want to get through and get all the details, and we can provide that in the same way that we did our previous series like this. So what we're going to talk about today is getting off of the search and getting into the most complementary part of a search campaign, which is the remarketing, touching people after they've been to the site, remarketing to those people. So just a brief discussion about what it is. If you guys don't know what remarketing is, it's basically a small piece of code that goes onto your phone browser, your laptop browser, your computer browser when you land on a web page. This is not anything unique to Google Ads. If you didn't know, this happens all the time. Google tracks where you've been using Google Analytics. Facebook tracks where you've been using their own tracking sources. Everybody does it. You probably have thousands of what's called cookies on your browser, and these help serve ads to you based on your activity. It's not a creepy thing. They don't know who you are. They just know that your device has been to their site. So don't get freaked out by remarketing. It's something that's done everywhere all the time. So Jason, I'll tell you, one of the things that I often run into is I'll have multiple lists. And the thing that I don't think I've ever cleanly solved is, or answered, I don't think I have a clean answer to, is you have your all users list, which let's say has 5,000 people on it. And then you have your specialty list. So in this case, for this build, it would be nursing home, assisted living, senior living, all that kind of stuff. So each one of those pages, and those have maybe 500, 700 people in them. Do you serve ads to all users and then in addition have those individual ads serving, or do you exclude those and only show people that have been to the assisted living page just an assisted living ad? Or do you serve both type of ads to those people? How do you exclude and include those?
Let me just take a step back and just to really drill, like really make it simple for people, because I think some audience members get lost in cookies and tracking and all that. You go to a website, you leave the website. Say you go to a car website, you look at a truck with a big brand. Let's just a big truck brand. Then you go to the New York Times or you go to ESPN and you start seeing display ads on those other websites about this company you were on earlier. That's remarketing. Why do it? Because it can get leads and because it builds your brand. Now, segmenting, let's just get right into segmenting, Chris. So I always run all users, and for Big Daddy JR, I would recommend all users as well. What ends up happening, though, is I usually get higher conversion rates and I like segmented list more than all users. So I bid up on them higher. And generally, I get more impressions, more spend on my segmented list than I do on my all users. That's just my experience. It might be different for different advertisers, but that's how it's worked out for me. So segmenting for Big Daddy JR, I think, Chris, what we would do for this client would be we have all users. We would name that the all users, either ad group or campaign. And then we have, I would call it our nursing home list, people that have looked at the nursing home service page. But here's the kicker. They've looked at the nursing home service page, but I would also include any blog pages specifically about nursing home. That's how you can really build up a big audience. And then we would have our assisted living list, people who've seen the assisted living service page, who've also been to assisted living blog pages or different assisted living service pages like subservices. Then we have senior living, and then we have in-home care. And we would make segmented lists for each of those. So a question is, how do you make a segmented list, number one, like people who've seen this page, but how do you make a segmented list with people who've seen multiple pages about the nursing home topic, say? And the way I do that, I use Google Analytics, Chris. I know you can do it inside of Google AdWords. I never do it that way. I always use analytics. When you're in analytics, you can go to audiences, you can go to remarketing. And what you have the option to, you can either say like include all pages that have the string nursing home after the .com. And so that's one way you can get all the nursing home pages. But the way I like to do it is you can just search for the pages and then add them in there. And so I've got some remarketing lists for me where I've picked out particular pages, the service page, the blog pages that I want to group into one segment, one group of one category. And I just search in analytics in that little dropdown. I say, find this article, find this article, find this article by searching the URL string. And I'm able to group articles that I've made together and segment those into one list. You save it. And then if it's linked to AdWords, you go into AdWords. When you add your remarketing list, you have the option there to pick the one that you created. In this case, it would be like the nursing home segment. So that's how you do it. I guess we can get into why you do it. Chris, are you a believer in segmenting?
I'll tell you, it's something I...
It's hard because a lot of people don't have volume.
I'll tell you, my biggest hang-ups for doing this are two things. One is, the click-through rate is so small, and I'm such a big believer in just the view through conversion, just the awareness and the impression itself, that a lot of times I don't do it just because, you know, I just want a company name, a logo, and just a brief description of what they do on the page. I find that just as valuable as opposed to pushing something specific about the service that they do. Because in my mind, I'm not necessarily equating the fact that they viewed a page to mean that they have an interest. What they did is they went to a page that interested them. But what really tells me in their interest is that they clicked on an ad, right? The ad is what originally drove them. So if they do something specific.
But it could be organic traffic too. People get put on that list for any reason.
That's true. That's true. It does do everything. But yeah. I'll tell you, the other side of things I often run into is a lot of the areas run into, there's not a difference, a huge difference between the different types of services.
Yep.
A lot of the services will run into subsets of other larger services. So they become so specific that it's not really worth it. So for example, this client isn't a very good example, assisted living and senior living. Those are different types of services.
This client is a great client.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a great client for a segmented list.
But one thing I think, you know, for a lot of people, like if we're talking about roofing, I don't want to put an ad that says commercial roofing and bid twice as high or three times as high on that and have that show more often when that's such a specific type of thing. I'd rather just say roofing company. That's usually where I go with. But I do think that when the case presents itself, and this client, Big Daddy JR, is a perfect example. Each of these have a person can be involved with the nursing home and not need any of the others. And it would be perfect to show them just nursing home images and content rather than all the others. So I think this is because the Big Daddy Senior Living is not a good brand to show. What you really need to show is that he does assisted living or he does senior living or something like that. He does in-home care. I think this is a perfect example. So when you have a situation where each of them are so separate and they're not subsets with tiny little audiences, I think that's a perfect time to use this.
I think that's a good point, Chris. And I've fallen in love with segmenting because it's worked out so well for me. But that is a great point that a lot of businesses are one business. They have like one main service they offer. And if that's the case, it kind of more makes sense to promote the brand. I think one thing we can say is just try it out. We like to say that. Just try it out and see what the data comes in as. Click-through rates, conversion rates, time on site. And in terms of how many users have to be on each of these audiences to be eligible to show in the display network, is it 100, Chris? Is it 100 or 200?
If you're doing display.
Okay.
If you're doing display, it has to be 100. If you're getting into search, and it has to be 1,000. And I think the email, if you want to do Gmail remarketing, I think it's even more. It might be in the 5K or 3K or something much larger. But it gets more as you get more and more creepy about your remarketing, you have to have a larger and larger audience.
Okay, but for display, you need about 100. So if you don't have 100 people on your list, you're not going to see your impressions. Your ads aren't going to run. Once you get to that 100 people on your list, they'll start to run, and then you can start to grow, and more people will be on there. Can I give a nugget, Chris?
Will you
accept a nugget right
now?
A pro tip. If your list size isn't big enough, take your date range and take it from 30 days in analytics to 180 days.
Yeah.
I think you can go up to 540 days, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you run into is some random... That was a big word when I was growing up in high school, Chris. Oh, some random just showed up at the party. Okay, you're going to call him a random, but you're going to go hang out with him and ignore me, even though I go to school. I'm not going to name names, but I guess he's not going to be a random for that long.
Deep personal stuff here. Sorry. We'll have to have our own episode for this hurt that I can see in Jason's soul.
But you know what I'm saying, Chris? You're at a high school party with girls.
High school parties.
They know you.
No.
Well, I didn't go to many, but they know you. And then some dudes walk in from the public school across town looking all rough, and they're like, who are those randoms?
Oh,
who's that random? And you're like, I don't know. You better not talk to him because he's a random and you know me. And then... They ignore you and go over
because he's new.
New and
because
cool
he's not normal. He's a random, and they like that.
He's
what
a random.
What are we talking about?
So I'm going to say random and try to remember what I'm talking about here. Okay, Chris, here's what happens. To make your list size bigger, you can go back in analytics and choose to capture people who have been there in the last like 90 days, last 60 days, instead of the last 30. The larger you go with your date range in terms of capturing that audience, the larger your audience can get because you're going to a bigger time range. But if you do go, I think the limit's 540, maybe it's 360. But if you keep going back and back and back, that list becomes a little bit more random. Because if someone went to your website 4 months ago, that's probably a less valuable person to get in front of than someone who's hot, who's been there in the last 6 years.
You're losing the impact of relevancy. They've been to your site recently. Mm-hmm. If they were there 6 months ago for one random ad they clicked or some organic link they came in from, it's likely seeing your brand is not going to mean anything to them. They're probably not in the mood for, you know, baby clothes anymore.
Dude, the nursing home, they're probably dead at that point.
That's a good point. I mean, that's exactly, yeah.
Don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at that, Chris. Don't laugh at that.
Okay.
So getting back to Big Daddy JR, we are going to do all users. We are going to also create segment lists for the four services that Big Daddy offers. So now the question becomes, and this is the great debate between myself and I don't even want to say his name, so I'll say my distinguished co-host, Chris. Mm. Oh, dang. I said it. People say I say your name too much. But again, what do you want me to say? Like Bozo the Clown every time I think of you? Like,
no, Mr. Schaefer.
Chris, the great Chris Schaefer.
Mr. Schaefer is.
Mr. Schaefer.
Yeah, that'll work.
No. No, I'm not saying that. So, Chris, optimize frequency. This is on the settings page. Yes. I'm going to go there so I get the name right. This is a big deal. Please explain to our audience what is frequency and what are our options, and then we can have a mini great debate.
Have you ever experienced annoying remarketing ads? You didn't even know they were remarketing ads, but you keep going to different...
No, I never have. I never have.
I'm not talking to you, Jason.
I like seeing them over and over. I like seeing them over and over.
You just listen. Okay, so have you ever experienced the point where you just keep seeing the same company over and over? You don't realize it, but you're being remarketed to. Most people don't know what remarketing is. They don't know why they keep seeing the same kind of ads, but you're being followed. And what these companies are doing, they're bidding somewhat aggressively or very aggressively on those ads, and they have no frequency cap. We've seen this with our own campaign. We have had screenshots sent to us of, oh my gosh, you guys leave me alone.
It's such BS. It's such BS. And I can't wait to get into a great debate.
So it's my point is that it can be very annoying. There is a point of marketing and annoyance, and there is a fine line. And the reason Google has a frequency cap is because if you want to be aggressive, but you don't want to go too far in what you're doing, you could put a $5 bid on some of your stuff, $7 bid, but you put a frequency cap of no more than 2 impressions per cookie or per device, you know, a week, a day, a month, you know, it depends.
What a coward.
You know, so if you did that, that would essentially allow your ads to spread evenly across your 2,000 audience members for that remarketing campaign. So I think it's a very healthy thing to do. I like to bid aggressively, but put a cap. I might put a cap of, you know, 5, maybe 14, 15 a week, maybe 3 a day. It just depends on how do you want to do it. But I typically like the daily. All right. Because I'll find that if you put it per week, it will blow the heck out of a whole bunch of impressions right on Monday, Tuesday, and then it slows down the rest of the week. So it's not always an even displacement.
Chris, just so everyone knows, I'm in the settings area of a display campaign, and then you're in the settings, and then there's a line called frequency capping. That's what we're talking about here. Now, number one, we only have two options. We have let Google Ads optimize how often your ads show recommended. And then there is no option for no limit, by the way. There's set a limit. So for one of my segmented lists, I'm on set a limit. I'm not letting Google decide, but I am still being responsible. I'm setting a limit. Do you know what my limit impressions per day is, Chris?
I'm terrified.
500.
Oh, my God.
I'm being reasonable, Chris.
God.
Now, I really highly doubt that anyone gets 500 impressions in a day. That's ridiculous. But, Chris, so just so everyone knows, yes, we are running remarketing ads for the Paid Search Podcast. We like it. It's a cool thing. And people have sent us screenshots like, I'm on this weather website and I see your ad on 7 different spots. Whoa, bros. And the thing everyone needs to understand, I didn't do set a limit 500 impressions per day or something crazy like that. It's on Let Google Ads Optimize. How often do you see it? It's on Let Google Ads Optimize, our Paid Search Podcast ones. The reason they're seeing a bunch of ads on one screen is because some of these websites put ad slots all over their page. But we're letting Google Ads Optimize on those. But Chris, in terms of frequency capping for Big Daddy JR, I'm going to be a tough client with you. I'm going to poke you a little bit. I'm going to push back. I'm going to say, I heard Rothman PPC on the Paid Search podcast talk about 500 impressions per day per user. And you're going to go, dude, you're going to go, Big Daddy, you're hiring a professional for a reason. Let me save you from yourself. We only have $3,000 a month to use. I'm going to recommend strongly, since we're testing out all users versus segmented audiences, we're going to let Google Ads optimize how often your ads show and stick to the recommended. So we'll do that for this one. And as Big Daddy, he'll say, you know what, Chris, that's why I hired a professional like yourself. And I thank you for talking me down. So that's kind of our frequency debate. Chris, for everyone out there, when you're just starting out remarketing, I also recommend let Google Ads optimize. You can't go wrong with that one. You'll get some data. It'll have a good balance.
Yeah, we'll move on to the next one. I'll just say, if there's a theme to my management strategy, it's don't let Google make decisions for you. So I tend to like to put a cap on things.
Oh, okay. I
prefer
to
put a cap. You know, I may start with 15 a week. So we have, you know, about 2 a day, something like that, or, you know, put 5 a day, something like that. And if I'm not spending my budget, I'll bump it up to 20 a week or 10 a day or something like that. So I like to put a cap on it just because I like to control things.
Now, we had our little great debate. We're going to make up and hug and kiss and all that. But we can agree on something. Google, I'm on my knees, Google. Please give us the frequency per user data. Give us that data breakdown. Yeah. We want to know how often people are seeing our ads. Wouldn't that be great, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. An average, I would love a column that says average impression per cookie or per device. And it, you know, it shows like 3.4, and that'd be a measurable.
Per day, per week, per month, something like that. And then we could know, like, okay, I am setting my limit at 500 per day because I want it to show a lot. Am I just really blasting people, or do they only see it an average of like 20 times a day? Okay, I'm letting it stay on Google Optimize, but am I overdoing it? Am I doing more than I wanted? I would love to get that data, Chris.
Yeah, you're absolutely. I mean, I feel like we're dreaming there, but yeah. So,
hey, you never know. So, you never know.
One thing, let's get on to the next. Another thing, obviously, is the type of content that we're getting. There is apps, and we've talked about these a lot. So there are apps out there. My opinion, when you show ads on apps, these are not websites. These can be things like some free game that has apps on it, some toddler music app, some video app. I mean, there can be all kinds of things that your ad can show. My thought is this. The click-through rate is usually so small, and especially if you have a small audience size. If I have like 5,000 people, 3,000 people or less, I typically let my ads run on apps. I don't typically exclude them unless it becomes a huge problem where I see a toddler app spending 10% of my spend or something like that, 10% or above, then I would get concerned. But overall, when it comes to remarketing, you know, it's kind of the same kind of thing. It's a branding and awareness thing. And if it's popping up in their app, unless it becomes a huge issue and I'm just spending too much on one individual app, I usually let it go.
So, Chris, let me ask you a question. For the longest time, we talked about the placement exclusion, Google AdSense network. I can't even remember what it was because it doesn't even apply anymore. But did you used to exclude apps because it was easier to exclude them?
Yes, you're exactly right.
So you have evolved. You've evolved on that issue.
I've changed my opinion because now it's no longer a quick exclusion. It requires clicking like 100 or 80 or something like that, different things. And in the end, I think Google's...
The app categories.
Yeah, the app category thing. And clicking through those is pretty extensive. And in the end, unless it becomes an issue, I don't address it.
Okay.
But yeah.
Chris, I think I'm a caveman. I think I'm going to have an on-air revelation here. I'm still excluding the app categories, and I think I'm a caveman. I think you're right. I don't think we need to be doing that anymore. I think I'm stuck in the old school. Yeah. Like, we're always worried about, like, games and young users being on some stupid toddler app and seeing and wasting impressions and clicks there. Are you not seeing as many of those problems?
No.
Are you seeing like better placements?
Now it's a whole nother, to be clear, I'm talking about remarketing. Remarketing is a list of a few thousand people typically within a 30-day time period.
That's a good point.
Most people. Display, that's a whole nother ballpark. Mm-hmm. That is potentially reaching out to millions of people, and I absolutely will block mobile apps from the beginning for display campaigns. But when it comes to remarketing, I just leave it open just because I don't see, if it's not a problem, then I'll leave it alone.
All right. So it's already locked down to your remarketing audiences. So let's see what apps are on. And then one thing I do like about the categories is, okay, you're seeing a lot of clicks in come from one app you don't like. Well, just exclude that category or that app. So I think for remarketing, Chris, I've evolved. I am no longer going to exclude apps off the bat. And I'm salivating here because for my own business, I'm going to get more impressions now. I'm going to turn these apps on. And so that's cool. So it's not even something to talk about with remarketing. Like we've talked about excluding apps in the past, but there's no reason to do that with remarketing. Just monitor your placements page, where your ad showed, and see what you show up on.
Sort by cost. And if there's anything to look at, then you can address it from there.
But also, little nugget tip, also sort by impressions, because you don't want some app racking up thousands of impressions with no clicks, and then that hurts your ad quality score, and you got to monitor impressions too.
All right, so...
Oh, by the way, pro tip from the great Chris Schaefer, monitor your clicks too, because remember, you used to tell me how on placements, some people are gamey with their websites, and you'll get a super high click-through rate that's not natural, and it won't be like you're actually getting good traffic. It's just people being kind of tricked into clicking your ads, so hopefully that doesn't happen anymore, but if you see an unnatural click-through rate high from a dumb-looking website, you can exclude that website.
There's one specific network. I can't remember it by name, but I wouldn't mention it anyway. But there's one specific ad network that I keep seeing showing up on the Google display, and it's some mobile network, and they keep pushing tons and tons of impressions, and I started blocking that network for a lot of my clients just because it seems really junky. Just like you said, high click-through rates, way too high impression volume, and it's just some kind of general ad-serving network that's just junk. So let's get into something new that we mentioned before. Probably don't need to spend too much time on it, but for Big Daddy JR, I mean, he doesn't have an in-house web designer. He doesn't have someone that can build us HTML5 ads. He can't get these custom beautiful ads going.
I used to, Chris, but had a little employee lawsuit problem there and had to get rid of that position.
Right.
But we don't talk about that at the company. And that's neither here nor there. That's in a courtroom.
Wow. Okay. Always creepy, Mr. JR. So,
all right, Chris. All right.
I'm going to recommend, as Jason had mentioned, I think last week or week before, responsive display ads now have videos that can be placed. And I just did this for a client yesterday. I grabbed a YouTube video from their channel, popped it in there, and rotated it along with the image ads, and it plays right in the ad. It looks really cool, especially if it's a service or product-focused ad. I mean, it's phenomenal to be able to deliver that instead of just some static white label stock image that just doesn't really look that great. So responsive display ads are it. If you're on a budget, you want to get something launched fast, I think that's going to be the best solution for Big Daddy JR. And basically, what I would do is have a responsive display ad for each one of the categories. We're going to have one for nursing home, assisted living, senior living, and in-home care. And the reason is because each of those are separate services. They are, as we discussed already, they have their own audiences, they have their own ad groups, so they're serving separately. So we need a different call to action, different messaging, different images, possibly different videos for each one of them, and then we go from there.
Chris, I love these responsive ads. They're new. You can do videos along with images they pull from your website. But at the same time, kind of like we talked about with responsive ads on search, I still am throwing in traditional display ads from the ad builder where they pull images from your site. I'm still throwing those in there because I am still sometimes seeing higher click-through rates on them. I like to try them out. So I'm doing both, but the thing I love about the responsive ads is that you can have videos in there too and show up on YouTube as well. That is so cool and it's so easy.
And the images and logo and videos, they all change. I mean, there's tons of different sizes. It's all dynamic, so it changes for you. Jason, tell me one thing. What do you think about, just text ads? I still see some clients with like just standard text ads with no images.
Oh man. So a couple things about text ads. One, when I used to do them on remarketing, and these are text ads that show up on the display network on remarketing, I would get really high click-through rates on those, like really high. And I don't know. I don't do them, Chris, because for me, remarketing, we'll talk about this when we talk about what success looks like. I'm not doing it to get clicks on search ads. If I wanted that, I would call Chris Schaefer and get some great training and some great management and run a search campaign. You know what I'm saying? Chris Schaefer, the great Chris Schaefer. Like, I'm trying to grow my brand. I'm trying to show pictures of my company, of my logo. That's where I think remarketing is best for. And then you also get direct leads from it. So it's not something I have tried recently. Maybe I should, to see what the conversion rates are like. And I mean, I think I should, but it's just not something I've done, Chris, because it's so easy to use that ad builder, pull images from your website. I haven't. Are you running any just regular text anymore?
No, I don't. And I think you're right. We'll talk about this, but I find that the impression volume just goes crazy if I have a text ad. It's because the text ads can serve in so many positions. They can fit in any ad position, anywhere. And, you know, what, for a remarketing text ad, what, it has my company name in it, or it has like the name of my service? There's no image, there's no logo, there's no real value, just like you said, in the impression itself. There's no recognition to what the product looked like or what the front of the building looked like for the senior living facility, you know, that kind of stuff to remind you of that. But no, I don't like them. I feel like they overwhelm my remarketing impression volume, and I usually keep them out.
And it's like, if just user experience for yourself, Chris, when you're on a website and you're on the New York Times or Wall Street Journal or whatever, and you see an ad, what draws your attention? An ad with an image and text, or an ad with just text? It's like, usually the image is the first thing that draws you in. But maybe it's worth trying. But the one thing I can say is just, I remember my click-through rates were just always higher on text ads.
It seems almost shady.
It just seemed weird. It seemed weird, yeah. So, but it might be worth trying something else. So that's ads. A couple final things on ads. I think we always recommend using images of your company, of your logo, because you're building your brand. In some cases, if you can't, you can pull stock images in the ad builder when you make a remarketing ad. Google provides some of those. Sometimes those are helpful. And then I would recommend everyone out there go to Canva, CANVA.com. And the reason I recommend that is because it is a awesome website where you can upload images like your logo or something like that, and then reformat the ad to different sizes if you're having trouble with the ad builder. So, Chris, that's ads. Let's talk about bids. We have to bid these remarketing ads. What are you going to do here, Chris? Where would you start?
I think we addressed it a little bit, so let's be very specific about what we're going to say here, because we're going to have multiple ad groups. So we have an all users, we have a nursing home, we have assisted living. So essentially we have, five ad groups total for each of the services, including the all visitors. Let's go with round numbers and say the all visitors might be $1, and then I'll put $2 on the specialized, or maybe $3. It depends on how aggressive I want to be, how much budget I have to work with. But this is a $3,000 budget for multiple city, multiple services. I'm probably going to be pretty cheap and maybe put 50 cents and then maybe a dollar on the specialized stuff. I need to cut it cheap. Honestly, I'm not going to be super concerned about this client when it comes to getting tons of remarketing, because he's already stretching me with budget anyway. And, I'm going to try and get the cheapest possible. Another reason not to block apps, because at least you can get, you know, some more impressions. Don't limit your display market. And you know, I'm going to be pretty wide with my geographic area.
Yeah, Chris, I think 50 cents to $2 is always a good starting point for remarketing. Just a couple of tips for everybody out there. Pay attention to your column, display impression share loss due to rank. It's kind of like search impression share, but it's for display. And you will see that if you're bidding $1 or $2, you're probably missing out on a lot of display impression share due to ad rank. That's one metric to pay attention to if you want to go higher. I also seem to get more impressions and more clicks if I go higher and higher with my bids. And I would just tell people, if you're liking your remarketing results after starting at a low bid, don't be scared to go to $5. Don't be scared to go to $10. Rothman PPC has gone to $25. And
oh, gosh.
I have, Chris, I have. And I can tell you, I did not experience $25 cost per clicks. I started experiencing like $10, $12, $15 cost per clicks. And things can get expensive quickly, but I've also seen that the more you bid, getting up to the $10 to $20 range in terms of your bids, you're not going to necessarily pay those, but your cost per click will go up and there is more to get. Like, it just seems like your click-through rates go up, your clicks go up. So if you want more, pay attention to that loss to rank column and then continue to bid higher if you're liking your results. So something to do in the future for Big Daddy.
Yeah, so let's talk about results. Let's talk about, you've done all this, you know, so we've built the campaign for Big Daddy JR, and you know, he wants to know a couple months down the road, you know, how's that remarketing go? What does success look like for something like this? I'll tell you my thoughts. When it comes to remarketing, I don't consider it a direct sale to people. I'm not looking to get a high conversion rate. I don't consider failure a 0.01% conversion rate. What Correct. I consider is, am I reaching people in the remarketing audience? Am I getting lots of impressions? Am I getting a moderate click-through rate? And I'm talking about like 0.2, 0.1, 0.3, something like that. I mean, if it's a lot higher than that, then you're either doing great on your image ads, you know, they're very appealing, you're doing some great targeted stuff, or you might be having some issues with, you know, showing up on too many toddler apps. But success for me basically looks like I'm bringing people back to the right page that have been viewing that page, mm-hmm. and the bounce rate's low, the time on site's long, and hopefully there's some view-through conversions that are happening. But again, this is not mm-hmm. a search campaign. This is a remarketing. It's retouching customers that have been there before, and you want to bring them back and have them reconsider your service or your product. That's what a successful campaign looks like. Honestly, it's one of the easiest ones to manage. You got a search campaign, you got a remarketing campaign, you can check that about a quarter of the time as much as you're going to check your search campaign. So, you know, it's easy, set it up right the first time, and it won't be something that you'll have to hassle with much in the future.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. And for me, I break down success into three different things. One is direct conversion. Sometimes with especially segmented lists, you are able to get direct lead form conversions. Sometimes that does work out, but also analytics data, like you said, you want a low bounce rate. Maybe if you get better than lower than 80%, lower than 70% for remarketing, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
50% or lower is great. And then time on site, I'd like to see maybe over a minute, 30 seconds. That would be a good metric. Couple minutes would be amazing.
Keep in mind, if you have a landing page you're sending people back to, all this is scrapped. Don't pay attention to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then the third metric of success, Chris, I would say the magic of remarketing. There's not a way to categorize it. There's not a way to describe it. I don't have a metric to give you other than Big Daddy money in my bank account. That's what I'm talking about, Chris. Like, all I can tell you is remarketing seems to work. I can't put it into nice metrics for you. I don't have any statistics for you. All I can tell you from personal experience, when I'm running smart remarketing campaigns, I'm making more money. I have more people contacting me. It just seems to really help your brand, and the overall success of your company is worth it. So, Chris, with that in mind, $3,000 a month budget, what are you telling Big Daddy to start out with for remarketing? $300 a month, 10%, 5%?
Yeah, I'm going to start with probably like $5 a day, you know, maybe $3 a day.
Oh, wow.
Something okay. like that to start off with. We'll see how it goes, but I'm going to put the majority of my spend in search to start off. Now, if I start seeing some search, some conversions and some view-through conversions and some good click-through rates, then I'm going to bump that up. Mm-hmm. But I typically find a lot of my remarketing campaigns to be limited by budget until they really prove that there's some real value, or the client starts to say, hey, I have people that are saying, hey, I saw you on the New York Times, or I see your ad everywhere. You guys are big, you know? If I get that kind of feedback, then I'll bump it up, you know, because obviously it's making an impact in this market. It's speaking to people. And if that illusion of a big company is working well, then I'll, you know, I'll go a little bit bigger with the budget.
I like that, Chris. I'd start out maybe at $300 a month, $10 a day, and do it 10% of the budget. Schedule, are you going 24/7?
I don't know. That's so relative. I'd probably not. I'd probably go with, for some, again, I keep falling back on the fact that this is a strap budget. You know, it's got to be, I got to be tight. So I'm probably going to go with waking hours. Like if it's Central Time, I'm probably going to go Central Time, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m., something like that, Central Time. Because one thing I find, take a look at your hours. If you have 24-hour ads and you take a look at your impression by hour, you will see a spike at midnight and 1 o'clock because suddenly Google gets a whole bunch of new budget and your impression, it'll reset it and suddenly, right at 1 o'clock in the morning, you suddenly start getting a bunch of impressions. And you're like, well, that's stupid. So... Yeah. That's why I usually like to go with a waking hour time when I'm strapped on budget.
Okay. I like that. And then just finally for Big Daddy JR, man, he wants people in Texas, in these big Texas cities, but he wants people searching about these Texas cities. Do you hate national or are we starting national for remarketing?
I just fall back on the volume. I mean, the budget thing. No, I'm going to start with local. I just would rather have people in my area. You know, I know there's going to be some sons and daughters that are looking for a home for their mom and dad, but, you know, I'm probably going to just do local. It's probably what I'm going to stick with.
Okay. Well, as Big Daddy JR, he hired the great Chris Schaefer for a reason. He's going to take your advice. So, Chris, that wraps up the remarketing content. Just to give people a preview of what we're doing here for the rest of the build, we're going to talk about YouTube campaign next week. And then we're going to talk about landing pages. And I think we're going to do something special there. And landing pages, it can play into website as well. And then, Chris, I think we should wrap up the Big Daddy JR after the landing page episode with an overall breakdown of the Google Sheets we come up with the videos we come up with, and explain people what those pages are, how they can watch those videos, how they should review the Google Sheets, and how they can use them to their advantage. And so kind of an overall recap episode to wrap it up in 4 weeks. You like that?
I like it. And guys, be sure and stick around because we have a special after show, what we're calling the paid search trivia. I'm going to ask Jason a question that I think he's going to get wrong. We're going to start doing this just for fun. But before we jump into that, I want to say thanks again to Opteo. Opteo provides detailed information about your Google AdWords campaigns in ways that you've never seen the data before. Colors, numbers, up and down arrows, something practical that you can use. If you like what I'm talking about and you want to stop staring at black and white and start getting some real in-depth data without having to bust your brain every time to come up with something unique, go to opteo.com/PSP. That's opteo.com/PSP. Get an extended 6-week trial and you're off to the races.
Thank you, Chris. And I want to recommend everyone go to directiveconsulting.com. They are the leading search engine marketing agency for B2B and enterprise clients. I recommend if you're a B2B or enterprise client out there or advertiser, go to directiveconsulting.com, get a proposal, check out their resources, check out their content, check out their case studies, and get that proposal and see what Directive Consulting can do for your business.
Okay. We're pretty tight budget here, so we don't have like theme music, but I feel like we probably should, but I'm not going to pay for it. So I'm just going to go boom, 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 boom. So this is what we call the paid search trivia. Paid search trivia. I'm going to ask the question this week. Next week, Jason will ask his, and I have come up with something that I'm hoping to stump the chump with. That's a reference to the old, my original radio, like podcast listeners back
stump
in the day.
Stump the chump. That sounds very pro wrestling.
Yeah, stump the chump.
Stump the chump.
So, if you know what I'm talking about, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. Say, hey, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so stump the chump. Jason, I have a question for you.
All right.
Jason, I have put on our spreadsheet here 4 options. One of them is a different color, but that's not on purpose. It's just the stupid sheet. So 4 answers. Please tell me the correct answer to the question, what is the proper keyboard shortcut to get to the extensions tab? Is it Shift G X? Is it Control G X? Is it Shift X? Or is it just G X? You have 10 seconds.
This is inside of Google Ads in the new interface. Yes. To get to
it's a shortcut to quickly
your extensions.
You're stalling.
All right. I'm stalling, but I'm not cheating. We're okay. going to have the honor system here. I was very
hand
tempted.
Hand on the cameras.
I was extremely tempted to
cheat.
Let me
see your hands. It's a PG show. Yep. Okay. I'm so glad we're not on YouTube. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. When in doubt, Charlie it out. So I'm going with C, Shift X. Shift plus X. Shift and X at the same time will get you right to your ad extensions.
I'm sorry, Jason. The correct answer is GX. You missed the very first question on our brand new show, Paid
All right,
Search
all right. Hold
trivia.
On. Let me try it out. Let me try it out. I'm going. So, do you have to be in a certain campaign?
No, just hit.
I guess
hit
you would have
G
to be.
And then hit X.
All right, I'm in all campaigns, and I'm in an interface in the new interface, of course, and I'm in a campaign. I'm going to hit G, X. The hell are you talking about,
what?
Chris?
It should have worked. It
Nothing
didn't
happened.
Work. Okay, well, I'll tell you.
Let me go inside of the campaign.
It's the
Chris. What are you talking? Don't embarrass me with this trivia thing, and then it not okay. work. What are you
GX.
Talking about?
It worked for me. Hit it quickly. Hit it a little faster. GX. It works.
Oh yeah, you got to hit it real.
Yeah.
Fast.
Okay.
You got to hit
I'm
it.
Sorry,
real
slow
quick,
daddy over saying, here Chris. Didn't do it right, but it works. GX was the correct.
Oh, it's got to be like a rolling. It's got to be like a rolling thing. Okay. Like you can't just do like I'm gonna verbalize it. G, X, and I hold both down, it doesn't okay. work. But if I go G, X,
some of us
bam.
Type faster than one
okay,
word a
I like
minute.
It.
But yeah, that's it. So there you go. There's your very first question, and you got it wrong. I'm so proud of you. Obviously, this is going to establish who is the big daddy of them all on the podcast.
Hey, Chris, are you a stupid person? Like, do you not understand that next week's going to be my
yeah.
week, and that I can come up with a super niche question, too, and make you look dumb? Like, why don't you be a little nice and I can be a little
no,
nice.
No, I'm going
to
leave
you,
it.
Okay?
Because I'm going to live it up while I can. Well,
all right, Chris. Well, that's what we're going to do with the PST at the end of the show, paid search trivia. We're going to ask each other a trivia question on each show and learn something together and with the audience. So I think it's a good way. And if we do this every episode, think of all the little tips like this we can learn throughout the years.
Yeah. So there we go. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. Thanks for following him on Twitter. Thanks for liking Jason's pictures of his dinner. And thanks for giving a high five to your spouse.